Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, live from Chicago. George Wilder Jr. Show. Keep it right here. It should be fun.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, WTTY. That's three T's, WTTTY, if I can get this thing right. I've been off for 3 days. We've been doing some writing. I mean, hey, it was Mother's Day. I think we had a great time on Mother's Day. I hope you did too. I would like to tell some of you folks this. We celebrated Mother's Day yesterday, which was Sunday, May 8th, and May 8th happens to have been my birthday, and I want to thank a lot of you people who are thinking about me and wishing me happy birthday, and to those who were not thinking about me and did not wish me happy birthday, then you know who you are, but hey, it's all good, it's all in fun. You're welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We have a guest today, author, Kathy Strahan. As you probably know, I'm a mess with names. I am totally I'm screwed up with names, folks. I can't pronounce them. I can't do this. Can't do that. But I love being on the air. I'm 1 year older, and it feels good. It feels great. I'm in great health, as far as I know. And it's great. I feel good, and I feel great. And I want to thank everybody for wishing me well and all that kind of thing. The good things you say about the show, the good things you say about my writings. I want to let people know that I am working on another story, a short story. I feel that short stories are just as good as a novel. I mean, a short story can stand next to a novel. Sometimes a short story can knock the hell out of a novel, and that's the truth. And I'm doing something that I've never done before. I'm writing a story that I've never done before, and I've always wondered why isn't there more writing on these kinds of stories. And I'm doing a Christmas story. I was reading Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, and my story is nowhere near like that, maybe not near as good as that, but it is sure entertaining. It should be released and published by December. You know, I can probably finish it a lot earlier, but I won't have it ready until around December. And the week of Christmas, I probably will be giving it away free, like I always do. There's always Christmas. Around Christmas, I give my material away totally free for a whole week. I call it giving a Christmas present to all my followers and listeners and fans. That's something you can, you know, read and enjoy just for free. It's on me, a Christmas present for me. And just like two or three of my other stories, this Christmas story will be starring Mason Featherstone. I just love that name. That's a character that I created. And this is a character that I'm going to be basing most of my short stories on, Mason Featherstone. He's such a likable guy, but he always winds up in situations that make the reader want to say, wow, why did that happen to him? He's such a nice person. He's a wonderful guy. He's a wonderful man. And if I emulated anybody in my life, it would be Mason Featherstone, the character that I dreamed up one day. And The reason why I know he's a nice person and he's a lovable and likable guy, because I've had readers who have read the two short stories, which are actually Elder Abuse and the Old Man and Emily and the Old Man. And those are two short stories that I've gotten plenty of feedback on and positive feedback on. So that encourages me to hold on to Mason Featherstone and to do more on facing Mason Featherstone. And I'm going to be doing a Christmas story, a wonderful Christmas story. Some of the things ring true and some do not. Most of it do not. It's just fiction, fiction, fiction. But it's a great story. It's a great enjoyment. I think it's going to be a great addition to the whole family once the story is finished and published and edited and all that kind of thing by me, the author. It's going to be great. So, welcome to the show, folks. And we got Kathy Strahan and commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Furthermore, I always start off talking about the weather. As you probably know, I'm in my studio. It's gray. It's dull. I mean, the weather is, in this city, it's a roller coaster, folks. One day it's up, the next day it's down. One day you're walking down the street with shorts on, the next day you better have on your big, thick winter coat. It's up and down, and it's pissing me off. It's pissing a lot of people off because the weather just it is not consistent. And you know, I mean, you're living in Chicago, and, you know, I hope the weather is fine where you are. I mean, I really do, because it's dark gray and cold. Not that cold, but cold enough. You know, it's not spring, and it's totally not summer. It's a little bit too the temperature is a little bit too high for dead winter. But we know that this is not spring. I mean, this is, as I'm speaking to you now, this is May 9th, a day after Mother's Day. And I want to say, I hope all of you mothers out there had a great Mother's Day. I've went on Facebook and some of the social networking sites, and I've seen a lot of great posts about mothers this, mothers that, positive posts. And there was a video I saw on Facebook. I thought it was just, excuse me. I thought it was just marvelous. Bruce Springsteen, the Boss, he had his mother on stage and they were dancing together, you know, as if they were in some sort of a ballroom. They were dancing together on stage at one of his concerts for Mother's Day. I thought that was just wonderful. And his mother looked as though she just was having a time of her life because her son invited her on stage. Bruce Springsteen, the Boss, you know, I got a few things by Bruce. But that was just wonderful, and I hope you've had a great and wonderful Mother's Day. You know, I mean, mothers, especially mothers who are really, really dedicated and good parents to their children. We got a lot of mothers out here who are not, and I have to say that because it's true. But, you know, overall, mothers are some of the tireless workers for their children in a positive manner. So I applaud all you mothers out there, and I hope you had a great Mother's Day over the weekend. Okay, I got some awful news to report. Also in Chicago, I mean, this is ridiculous. During the weekend, the Mother's Day weekend, there were violence was at its all-time high in the city of Chicago. I mean, 50 people were shot. 9 people were killed over the Mother's Day weekend, and that's a damn shame. And we just got ourselves a new superintendent who doesn't seem to know what he's doing. The violence hasn't gone down one iota of a bit since this guy has been employed by the taxpayers of the city of Chicago. Now, I live in Chicago. I live in the state of Illinois, and whatever's going on in this state is free reign for a lot of us radio show talk show hosts to talk about, you know, if it's something's not right. And it's not right. I mean, this guy's getting, $260,000? And to lower crime, to curtail crime, and all the time it's going up. I mean, give me a break. 50 goddamn people shot, hurt, over the weekend, the Mother's Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 50 people and 9 killed. Now, tell me, where is this guy, this superintendent, Eddie Jones? Tell me, where is he being successful in curbing crime? Oh, yeah, he, after the crime is done, you see his face all over the television saying, well, this happened, that happened. Yeah, but where were you, your police force, to curtail this stuff, to stop this stuff from happening? It's a damn shame. Violence is up twofold in this in Chicago, and we just can't seem to get find a police chief who has plans, ideas, and ways to bring this stuff to an end, or either just bring it down. Stupid people, dumb people, ignorant people, thugs are going to shoot. Crime is going to be here, but it doesn't have to be as high as it is in Chicago. Every time these shootings happen in Chicago, it makes the national news. It makes world news. And that's an embarrassment for Chicago. That's an embarrassment for the state of Illinois. And we've got these damn politicians who will not come out and say anything about the crime. I've said this years ago. I think I said it about 4 or 5 years ago. We need help. The police department is just not getting it. They cannot solve this. Obviously, they can't. I mean, if any time it's been 20, 30, 40 years and the same crap is happening, you have to look at your police force. What are they doing? There are cities a lot bigger, larger than Chicago, and their crime rates are their crime rate is not as high as Chicago. Some of these cities don't even have crime. What are they doing that Chicago is not doing? I've said this before years ago. I think, as I've just got through saying, I think Chicago police need help. They're too damn gullible to ask for help or to accept help. I think what we need is the National Guard or the Army on the west sides and south sides of Chicago. The thugs and the gangbangers are so dumb, they'll shoot at the military if the military was over there. But the military will shoot back. If there's not enough, let me say this, folks, if there's not enough police officers and crime is constantly going up for decades after decade after decade after decade, something has to be done. But these guys, like I said, these politicians, they don't want the military. They don't want the National Guard. But we need the military and we need the National Guard. It's something that they can't do. Until the National Guard or the military is patrolling some of these high crime areas that the police can't seem to do their jobs in, get some people over there that can do it. But they're afraid that the National Guard, by saying that the National Guard and the Army should, the military should be over in these high crime areas, make the police look as if they're not useful. Well, they're not useful. They're not. I mean, we've had superintendent after superintendent, and all crime has done in the state of Illinois has risen. It has not gone down, and we paying these people big bucks through taxpayer funding. And still, people can't even sit in their damn kitchen and eat breakfast without a bullet coming through the window and hitting them and killing them. A child can't even sit in her home and sit there and watch television without a bullet, a stray bullet, blasting through the damn walls and killing the child. Everybody's crying, everybody's upset, everybody's protesting, but nobody has caught the killer or killers. People can't even come out on their damn front porches and sit down on their front porch, enjoy the weather without somebody, some thug driving up in a car and spraying bullets all over the place. You can't even sit in your car in your own neighborhood. Somebody will come up to you, the passenger side of the car, and shoot you in the head just for the hell of it. Just by sitting, because you're just sitting in your car. And you get shot in the head and killed. And this is happening all the time. Gangbangers, gang slangers, thugs. And I hear people saying, well, they ought to give these people over here something to do, and maybe they'll stop killing each other. That ain't going to help. These people, the killers, the murderers, they are stone, cold-blooded murderers. Doesn't matter what you give them. You could bring jobs. You can bring revitalized and revitalized economy into the communities. These killers are going to kill because that's what they are, and that's what they do. I hear people all the time say, well, the government, the city should give these kids something to do. Get them off the street. They don't have anything to do. They don't have anything to good. Give them something to do. Give them something to do. Are you crazy? That's your child. You are responsible for that child. You give your child something to do besides stand out there on the damn corner with a gun. The other day, a Good Samaritan saw an 11-year-old boy in Chicago walking down the street with a big, thick-ass gun in his waist, loaded. She went up. She accosted him. She went up to him, and she took the gun and asked him what the hell was he doing with it and where was he going. Now, that woman who accosted that 11-year-old boy is a hero. She may have saved his life or saved someone else's life because he was walking down the damn street, 11 years old, a big ass, looked as if it was a police Glock type weapon. Whether it was a BB gun, a pellet gun, or whether it was the real thing, she is a hero. A hero, because a lot of times kids get shot down by the police, you know, because it looks as if they're carrying a real gun, and it may just be a play gun. I mean, play gun at any toy store. You know, and it's just a shame that our politicians do not seem to want to admit that crime is out of control in the city of Chicago, probably in Detroit, Minnesota, but not as it is in the city of Chicago. 50 damn people shot. Some people say 49, 50. What the hell? What the hell? This is crazy, folks. This has got to be nuts. And if you're listening to me in Chicago, my number is, or anywhere, it doesn't matter because this show is all over the world. 347-857-1762. 50 people shot on Mother's Day weekend, and that's awful. And as I've just got through saying, it made the news. I mean, anytime 50 people get shot in a city, it makes the news, and especially at the city of Chicago. And 9 people killed. Some people say it was 8, 9. What the hell? People died. Terrible. I mean, I just can't seem to fathom the crime. And we've been changing police superintendents. Like, some people change the sheets on their bed. We change them, and still nothing positive happens to the crime rate in this town. It goes up. And I think if we're paying these people six figure salaries and up to do a job, and that job has not been done, I don't think taxpayers should be paying people like this, the superintendent, the mayor, and all these other people in charge of bringing crime down. They shouldn't get a damn thing because they're not doing their jobs. They're not doing it. Only thing I see some of these people doing is going on television. Oh, well, there was a crime over here. She got shot in the head. And another guy over here, 4 people over here, they got shot in the head. And we're doing our jobs. You want to bet you're doing your jobs? The only thing that you're doing is collecting a paycheck, a taxpayer paycheck. The logo on the side of your car says serve and protect. The only thing you're protecting is your job, and the only thing you're serving is yourself picking up a paycheck and not doing. I've said for the longest, in order for police officers, besides the military and the National Guard, police should saturate these crime-filled areas. Because the bad guys know when you come and the bad guys know when you leave. You know, and if you're coming, they know when you're there. The cops know, the bad guys know when the cops are there. Okay, so they're not going to, you know, come out and do something wrong while the cops are there. But they have their guys walking the streets watching the block. And when the police are not around, that's when the stuff goes down. And another thing, the police, at least in Chicago, maybe even elsewhere, the police in Chicago and maybe elsewhere, and I'm talking about some of these high crime areas in some of these municipalities, they know who the thugs are. They know who these gangbangers are. They know who they are, and they know where they are. My thing is, if you know who the gangbangers are, if you know who the shooters are, but you don't have any proof to arrest them, but if you know who they are, you know where they reside, because you got all these detectives, you got all of these special tactics groups, investigators, that you guys know who these people are. Why don't you arrest them? Why don't you knock out their organization? Because if you don't arrest them or knock out their organization or hit them where it hurts in their pockets, they're going to continue to shoot, kill, maim, and get away with it and make the police department in Chicago and elsewhere look stupid. Police are looking stupid, but they're getting their paychecks for looking stupid because they're not getting a paycheck for lowering crime. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Folks, I am fired up. I am so pissed because it was such a great Mother's Day. And when I heard about all the violence, sometimes I just keep the television off. I don't want to even hear it. Because I know if I turn it on, it's going to be, 100 people were shot. You know, wow. You're listening to the George Browder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'll be right back, folks. Stay with me. Folks, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's getting darker and darker as I sit in my studio. We're near the lake. It's beautiful, but it's gray. I don't know. And whenever the day is gray and I'm, you know, facing the boulevard out here, and it kind of seeps inside of me also. So I hope I don't sound like I'm gray and dull because the day is. Sometimes it's just a match. Even if you don't want it to be a match, it's, you know, because, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. Let's move right along. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, but if you want to be a guest on this show, that's no problem for that. You can always look me up and you can be a guest on this show just as long as you have something that you can provide to my audience in terms of making the world a better place. So you can always be a guest on the show. There's, I mean, I'm there, and it's so easy. It is so easy. I don't give you a long form like some radio show talks, some radio show talk shows do, and some TV talk shows do. I mean, you have to fill out a long form for this and all of this to be on the show. My show, you don't have to fill out a form. Just send your information to my email, which is author@gmail. Do I remember it? AuthorGWilder@gmail.com. Send your information. I will look it over. And once it's looked over, and if you are, if I think that you're a good person to be on the show, I'll just send you, you will be booked automatically. That's it. You know, I mean, I don't try to give people a hard time. I try to make things easy for people. I don't need your, all of your, I don't need to send you out a form or tell you to fill 2-3 pages of a form out before you can be on the show. You know, so, no. You just send in your information, AuthorGWilder@gmail.com, and I will look over your information, and I will tell you if you can be on the show or not. And if you are chosen to be on the show, you will be booked right then and there. All you have to do is just show up. You know, there is no magic bullet to being on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, people, let's move right along. Move right along. WTTY, it is 6:27 straight up Chicago time, Central Standard Time. And a lot of people, you know, they get that screwed up. They get this time zone screwed up. I mean, when I first decided to do the show, I was getting it messed up, you know. Oh, but I think we got it straight now. A lot of people are smart, and they've got it down practically. All righty. We're going to be talking about, okay, we're waiting for Kathy until she gets here. We're going to talk about Black Flight. Black Flight from Chicago. And it is tied to, when I say Black Flight, I mean African Americans leaving the city of Chicago. I mean, down, going back down south. You know, some people are they're leaving Chicago, they're going to Georgia, Mississippi, you know, all of these states, Atlanta, Birmingham, Tennessee, Black flights from the north to the south. Now, back in the day, it was like black flight up from the north, up from the south and going to the north. But now it's in reverse. They're going back to the, a lot of these states where they used to have, and some still do, plantations. And one of the reasons to why black people are leaving is simple. I just got through talking about it. Crime. Another reason, there is no state budget. There also is another reason. The damn taxes are too high. And once again, our politicians will not man up and say that people are leaving the state. It's well documented that people are leaving the state. And I've said this several times. If someone is not leaving the state, they're either dedicated to staying here to try to fight for what's right, or they don't have the damn money to leave. They're too poor to leave. And the thing here is, when people leave the state of Illinois, More, like I said, most time people leaving, they can afford to leave. And if they can afford to leave, they're taking that tax money with them. They're taking their dollars with them. They're taking their dollars with them. And this is where it gets shaky, because the politicians are raising taxes like I don't know what. If you're raising taxes and people who can pay the taxes are moving out of your state because of the taxes, then what do you got? Poor people, they don't pay taxes. They don't have anything. They don't have a job. How can they pay taxes if they don't have anything? But however, politicians continue to raise taxes on the backs of the poor, on the backs of the middle class, on the backs of the people who are struggling. those people who are struggling, they cannot afford to leave the state. But yet, they are being taxed up the ass by politicians who are rich. And that is the story, folks. We do not have a budget in Illinois. A lot of businesses are upending. A lot of the vendors have stopped their jobs because they are not getting paid. A lot of the state workers, I think there's about 60 or 70,000 state workers in the state of Illinois, and every day they go to work, I mean, they're on pins and needles because they may not even get paid. There's no budget, and when there's no budget, you can't spend money. Rauner is still talking about, Governor Bruce Rauner of Illinois, he's still talking about public schools. He acts as if he cares so much for public school children. He does not. It almost seemed like it's racist. He does not. If he cared about public, I guess he thinks we're stupid. If he cared about public school children, if he actually cared about public school children, he would not have proposed to take $74 million away from public schools to give it to the schools downstate, the rich schools. I've said this before. It's Robin Hood in reverse, taking from the poor and giving to the rich. Now, how in the hell can we say he cares about schools? He's going around once again, folks. He's blaming other people, other politicians, for the things, the rotten things, the low-down things that he has done. He's talking about the schools. The schools are in bad shape. They are in really bad damn shape. And he is not the culprit, but he has made it worse, a lot worse. Rauner does not like unions. He can't stand them. He wants to bust them. He cannot stand them. So how in the hell does he care? How does he care for public schools when public schools is nothing but labor? Unions are all about public schools. Rauner care about the schools downstate. He goes down there and he photo ops. He has so many photos of him hanging around rich kids and rich parents and politicians who were his flunkies, his minions, and his thugs. He's so many photo ops, smiling and doing dirt to the public schools up here in Chicago. I just saw him on television, folks. He does not do Q&A. He claims he does. He said, I do Q&A. No, and when a reporter asks him a question, he walks off. That's not Q&A. That's saying, don't ask me a damn thing. Take what I've said or leave it. That's Rauner. And that's one of the reasons people are leaving the state, because they feel that he has just made the state a lot worse. I mean, every day that I'm on the air, folks, I talk about Bruce Rauner because I'm in the state that he is, that he's the governor of, and I've been living in the state a lot longer than he's been governor. And I know when someone comes into office and does the state a disservice. I've said this before. I admit, before he was elected, and he was not elected, but before he took office, the state was in financial trouble. I admit that. I don't think there's no one in the state of Illinois would not say that. Yes, we were in a lot of trouble. However, Bruce Rauner came into office, and he has made things a lot worse. I don't think anybody out there from the state of Illinois, even outside of the state of Illinois, would disagree with me on that. Rauner has made these things so worse. He's made them worse, a lot worse. And it will take him to make it better. But he will not make make it better, because his statement is every time he cuts something, something vital, something that people even need to live, every time he cuts something that people need to live on, he says, well, the state can't afford it because the state doesn't have the money. However, folks, if the General Assembly in Illinois let Governor Rauner bust unions in the Chicago public schools and all around the state, Rauner has said that he would sign a budget in a minute. But he wants something from them before he'll give them something. It's like, wash my back, I'll wash yours. And the legislature said no, because busting unions is not a budgetary item, which I do agree with them. It's not a budgetary item, but this is what Rauner wants. He wants to bust these unions. This guy is foaming at the mouth. He cannot stand unions. I mean, he doesn't like, but I've said this before too. Rauner has been, he's coming up on 2 years in office, I believe. And he's a failed governor. That's no doubt about it. I mean, we have two top newspapers in the city of Chicago that have given this guy a total F for his performance or his non-performance. And I've said this before, and a lot of us are saying that he's corrupt. He is. He's got to be corrupt. I think he should be going off to jail somewhere, because he's done nothing positive for this state. He's a Republican a politician, and he's done nothing positive. I think he's one of the worst. I actually think Donald Trump would make a better governor than this guy. And from my understanding, Bruce Rauner has said he is not going to endorse Trump. And the media is all over him, to asking him why, but he won't answer. He'll just walk away, and he just got you saying that he's a Q&A guy. He is not. That's a lie. He doesn't like to talk to the press. He doesn't like to talk to the public. If he talks to the press, if he opens his mouth to the public, it's always, if you summarize what he's saying, basically he's saying, it's my way or the highway. And then he walks on. That's no damn Q&A. And everybody's, you know, gathering around Bruce Rauner, wondering who he is going to endorse. You know, who gives a damn who he endorses? Who cares? He can endorse anybody he wants to. He doesn't have to endorse anybody. But who cares who Rauner endorses? Or who cares who he likes or do not like in this presidential race? He's such an awful human being himself. Who gives a damn? He can't sway your vote or my vote any way, shape, or form in terms of who he endorses. I couldn't give a damn who he endorses. I'm not going to stop thinking that he's a failed governor. His approval ratings, they're in the gutter, maybe in the 20s, maybe lower. But we do know that he polls badly in the state of Illinois. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn, and he doesn't care. So, you know, I mean, folks, it's a mess in Illinois. And like I said before, I think we need the National Guard or the Army or somebody over there. So, yeah, Rauner is not endorsing Trump. So what? Who cares? I'm not a Trump supporter, but who gives a damn who he – I mean, I couldn't care less. You know, he could support the President Barack Obama. I couldn't care who he supports or he endorses, because that's not going to change my vote one way or another. But I like to try to encourage people to hang in there, especially people of Illinois, to hang in there. This guy is I think he got about 2 more years in office if he's not driven out in handcuffs. He got 2 more years in office. He will, and if he decides to run again, forget it. He shouldn't even try to say that he wants to be elected. It ain't gonna happen. It will not happen. Probably in less than a year from now, he's going to have so many opponents, people running with him, you know, that they're going to be trying to get his job because of his low poll numbers. And people in Illinois, most people, the majority of people in Illinois do not like him. And he knows it, but he doesn't care. He brushes it off, you know. But I mean, if you're going to be running for re-election in a state, you have to get people to like you. You can't have people walking around hating you and calling you names because you are devastating their state with these funding cuts, the slash and burn kinds of cuts, the cuts that are throwing people out of work, that are making the economy in Illinois sink to its lowest. You can't have people hating your guts, Bruce Rauner. You have to have people on your side. You got to have people you can work with. If they hate you, they can't stand you, they're not going to work with you. They're going to work against you. I've heard so many people say Rauner doesn't know what he's doing, and the guy doesn't. He either doesn't know what he's doing or he doesn't give a damn about how he's doing what he's doing. Since he's been in office, almost 2 years, and he has done nothing positive for Illinois. People, if I thought he had done something positive, I would mention it right here on this radio show. Rauner, regardless of his party affiliation, whether he's Democrat, Independent, or Republican, if I thought he'd done something positive for this state, positive for the people of this state, I would mention it right here on the air. The guy has been in office almost 2 years, and he's done exactly nothing. If he's done anything to hurt the state, he's hurting seniors, the elderly, if they're not the same, seniors, elderly, children, the disabled, the mentally ill. And I can go on and on and on and on. The list is so damn long because he's... If there is a funding program in the city of Chicago, in the state of Illinois, Bruce Rauner has cut it or he's going to cut it. And his excuse is that Illinois doesn't have the money. But however, Illinois will be able to get the money if the legislature in Illinois let Bruce Rauner have his way to devastate unions. To devastate unions. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back. Stay with me, folks.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is the All right, we're going to have to get that audio fixed. I mean, that blew a hole in my ear. Oh, I'm having a great time, folks. My guest, either she's late or she's not going to show up. That happens, folks. That happens. But we're having a great time here. And we're talking about, okay, Obama administration sues in North Carolina over anti-LGBT bathroom bill. I don't know, folks. I'm a little on the edge on that one, you know. I mean, I think you should be able to enter the bathroom of your birth gender. Not some guy changing into a girl and decides he doesn't want to use the boy bathroom anymore. He wants to go into the girl's bathroom. I mean, look at it this way. If you had a daughter, I mean, most of us do, you know. Would you want some guy who's dressed as a girl to come into the bathroom of your daughter and start using the bathroom? And he hasn't had a sex change. This is kind of like a slippery slope for me. You know, they're saying it may go all the way to the Supreme Court. But this is a slippery slope for me. I would probably say, hell no. You know, let him use the bathroom of his birth gender. You know, if he's a guy and he has a penis, he should go into the boys' room. The girl, I mean, she's got a vagina, let her go use the girls' restroom. What have we come to, folks? Where we have the Attorney General of the United States saying that it's okay. She's looking like a man. And, you know, this is just crazy. The world has gone batshit crazy. What can I say, folks? All right. Pat McCrory has been hating on the LGBT people for decades, okay? They're saying that this guy, this governor of North Carolina, Pat McCrory, he's been hating on the LGBT people for decades. It's not hate, folks. It's the right thing to do. Not to hate on them, but to have people use restrooms of their birth gender. You know, this is the way I see it. I know a lot of people are going to hate me for that. A lot of people, oh, George, what you talking about? It's 2016. No. I think people should go to bathrooms of their birth gender. If you're a girl, use a girl's bathroom. If you're a boy, use a boy's bathroom. 347-857-1762. I'm not racist. I mean, I don't discriminate, but, you know, right is right. You know, I don't think I can say this again. I don't think a girl who's changing into who wants to be a boy use a boy's bathroom, especially if she hasn't had a sex change. And I don't think a boy changing into a girl should be able to use a girl's bathroom without having a sex change. That's just me. You know, it sounds reasonable. It sounds, you know, the way that things should be. But the world's changing. You know, gay people are everywhere. I mean, there are some people, you've known for years and years and years. Suddenly they come out looking like looking other than themselves. Believe me, I'm not racist. People can be what they want to be. They can dress the way they want to be. They can have sex changes. You know, that's them. I'm not going to be thinking about something that I cannot control. You know, I can't control it. I'm not a politician. I'm not a lawmaker or anything. But I can give my opinion. I can give my thoughts on it. That's just me, you know. It's a mess, but the world is changing. Sometimes I say the world has just gone bat crazy. Okay, Ryan, I'll step down as RC if Trump asks. Oh, man. There's no doubt about it. They're still trying to damage Trump, and they just can't see Trump. Trump is going to be the nominee. Trump just might wind up being president of the United States. And if you have heard it, Trump is blasting. He's blasting Hillary Clinton and her husband, Bill Clinton, over the Monica Lewinsky scandal from the 90s. And a lot of people are saying that this is going to backfire on Trump. It might, because he's very, very nasty. But you know what? Trump is not talking about getting rid of Social Security. Trump is not talking about getting rid of Obamacare or Medicare, as was Ted Cruz and John Kasich. Trump is talking about expanding these programs and others. And the Republicans, the conservatives, they don't like that. They're saying Trump is not one of us. We want to cut Social Security. We want to cut Medicare. We want to cut food stamps. So he's not one of us, you know. you know, this is why I said in a few shows back that I would rather see, if I had the choice, I would rather see Donald Trump president than Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz would have dismantled everything because he claims he's some sort of preacher or something. He's a devil in disguise. Donald Trump wants to expand these programs. He's saying the other day in an interview on television, he said, well, people got to eat. People got to live. The Republicans, conservatives, they don't want to hear that. They don't give a damn about people eating or people living. They don't care. The Republicans, some of the Republicans think like this. Well, you know, I'm rich. I got mine. You ain't got yours. Too bad. Too damn bad. You know? So, but in no way I would vote for Donald Trump. There's no way. But I do know there's African Americans out here who are going to vote. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you've got high-profiled entertainers and governors and football players and coaches and managers saying that they're going to vote for Trump. And they're saying right here that Donald Trump doesn't even know what the GI Bill is. Donald Trump doesn't know a lot of stuff. I mean, a whole hell of a lot of stuff. But I'm pretty sure he's going to have people around him tell him, schooling him on what this is and that is. Of course he doesn't. Donald Trump doesn't know anything about politics. It's a lot of things he doesn't know. Foreign policy, he doesn't know. Military policy, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. And so many other things he doesn't know about being president or running for president, or things that he should know. But like I just said, folks, he's going to have people surrounding him that's going to be pumping, teaching him and pumping stuff into his ears on how these programs and agencies work, because he doesn't know. We could have, no doubt about it, folks, we could have a President Donald Trump. He's blasting Hillary, totally blasting Hillary. And also Bernie Sanders is still in it. He's still in. I actually think I am a Bernie Sanders supporter. I am more than a supporter. I am a fan of Bernie Sanders. I think he's a great. I mean, for 74 years old, 75, some people saying, but I am a fan because at that age, he's a role model for all of us. If and when we reach that age, we know that we can still, 71, 72, 73. Any one of us can still be president. You know, so he's a role model. However, I don't think that he's going to be president. Much as I would like for him to be president, it doesn't look like it. And much as I do not want Hillary Clinton in the White House and Bill Clinton and Chelsea, because they lied and connived and cahoot, and somehow she ran away with everything. And, however, I do think she may be a little bit better than Trump, even though she's Wall Street. And Bill Clinton looked like he should be in a nursing home. And a lot of people are saying that they don't want Hillary. A lot of Bernie Sanders supporters are saying that they don't want Hillary. They don't trust her. They don't like her. And some of them are saying they're going to vote for Trump because they just don't like Hillary Clinton, or they're not going to vote at all. And Hillary is out there trying to woo Bernie Sanders supporters to her side of the aisle. Even I have a problem voting for Hillary Clinton. But it will be Bernie Sanders himself, once he drops out of the race, to try to convince his supporters to support Hillary Clinton for the nomination of President of the United States. He's got to do that. That's up to him. And a lot of us don't want to do that. But a lot of Republicans who don't like Donald Trump, from my understanding, will be voting for Hillary Clinton just because they don't want to see Donald Trump in the White House. They may use Hillary Clinton, vote for Hillary Clinton, make sure she's in office to keep Donald Trump from getting it. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Only listen to me. You miss the show, you will miss a lot. All right, Kathy will not be on the show, even if she shows up, because she's late. I mean, if you're late for your job, I mean, you know, there's always that demerit. All right, if you miss the show here, you will miss a lot. Great to be with you today. We've always got a great show, whether it's me or a guest and me or just myself going solo. It's always a great show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. And they're still talking about Prince, folks. They're saying that the guy done probably, he done overdosed on painkillers. If this is true, I knew it was something. I said, this guy was 57 years old. He didn't have a heart attack. He didn't have a stroke. He was little. For 57, Prince was very, very little. And I'm hearing he's got thousands and thousands of recordings, unreleased recordings. So we're going to be hearing from dead Prince years into the future, because he's got tons and tons of music. Maybe he planned that. You ever thought about that? Maybe he planned to leave so much music behind after his death, so, you know, we can be playing it and buying it after his death, because a lot of people do that when they die. David Bowie did it. I mean, he left a lot of material, purposely left a lot of material for his fans after he was gone. He knew he was dying, so he left a lot of things for us to remember him by, his music. I've listened to his latest album, and I thought it was kind of scary, kind of. Really, really kind of frightening, but it's good work. It's talented. David was always a talented guy. I love his stuff. And Prince, I wasn't that much of a Prince fan back in the day. I was more of a Michael Jackson fan. But Prince and Michael Jackson, at one point they did cross each other's path. I think Michael Jackson asked Prince to be part of one of his videos, and Prince turned him down for whatever reasons. All right, since since I've been talking about Prince, I want to play one of his greatest songs, one of his that I like. He's got a million of them. I was talking to a friend of mine on Facebook, and she said she likes Prince's slow songs better than his faster songs, more up-tempo songs. She might be right about that, you know, because since his death, I've listened to a lot of Prince music, and I found out that his slower songs, more moderate tempo songs, are his best. His best. And here's one right here. Can we got it? Okay. All right. wow. Prince on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I just had to do that. That's one of my favorites. That is When Doves Cry. That's one of my favorites. But like I just said before, I think a lot of his slower stuff is a lot better. I mean, Prince really gets down, and he's got so much unreleased material. It's almost a shame. But hey, we're going to be looking for it. We're going to be waiting for it, you know. So, Prince, rest in peace. 57 years old. My God. Makes you think about your own mortality, immortality, or whatever. So, yeah, it's rough. It is rough. All right, Facebook. Facebook is, I think they have some sort of facial recognition software where they can recognize you by your face. And some people are telling me that that's illegal, or it could be illegal. So we have to stay tuned for more of that. Facebook is always up to something. They are all, these people at Facebook, they do not rest. They're all up to something to get your information, get everything on you, make things a lot worse for you, you know, make things a little bit more difficult than what they actually are. Facebook is always up to something, and it's always negative for the member, the person who is a part of Facebook. You know, one of the pet peeves I got about Facebook, I'm into a lot of groups on Facebook, and one of the things that pisses me off about Facebook is all this porn and garbage that permeates Facebook. You know, child porn, erotica, sexual acts, all this stuff in your face on Facebook. And it seems like Facebook, instead of going after the people who are posting this kind of garbage up there, these garbage books, covers, and instead of going after some of these people who place this kind of garbage on Facebook, Facebook seems to be going after the people who aren't really doing much of that. You know, I mean, it's just totally unfair. And Facebook has to realize something, that they're not the only game out here. You have to make Facebook realize that. And they're all trying to get into your pockets, trying to get you to pay more for this or more for that or for this and that. You know, it'll happen. It'll happen. All right, the smart quiz questions for the day, folks, is if the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes president? That's the vice. That's the smart quiz question of the day, not the vice, but the smart quiz question of the day. Let me do that again. Smart quiz. Let's see if we can bring it up. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right. Just like I've just got through saying, folks, smart quiz. If both the president and the vice president of the United States can no longer serve, who becomes president? I bet you Donald Trump knows that. Because I think he's going to be talking to this guy later on. But I should have the answer in about maybe 10 minutes, folks. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. Yeah, Facebook is trying to Facebook doesn't try to do anything. If Facebook is going to do something, they are going to do it. You know, facial recognition. I mean, without your permission, without your knowledge, this stuff is happening. I mean, I'm on Facebook every day, at least, you know, almost every day. But you've got some people, you know, this is something. You've got some people on Facebook that are on Facebook all day, every day, and this has been going on for years. And sometimes they just linger there. They don't post. They don't click like. They're just there. But you know they're there because they're your friend. So you know they're there, but they don't post. They don't interact. they're not a part of it, you know. But they're there. Every now and then they may click like, but they'll just click like on what they want to click like on, because a lot of people be holding back those likes because they want you to pay them. Not here. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. 347-8577. My guest appears that she either forgot her way or she will not show for some reason. And this is a question that I get sometimes because of the Mother's Day weekend. It says, how did you spend your Mother's Day? That's a great question, you know. But most people, there's no doubt about that. Most people spent their Mother's Day with their mother. You know, I said something earlier about Bruce Springsteen, the singer, the rock icon, the boss, some people call him, or most people call him. I mean, he was on stage doing a concert, and he brought his mother along. That was so nice. I don't know if you've seen that video. I saw it on Facebook. Yes, Facebook. I saw it on Facebook, and I thought it was awesome, man. I thought it was awesome. You know, if that was me, I probably would have brought my grandmother on stage with me. But that was totally awesome. I mean, she looks like she's going to live forever, and let's hope so. And Bruce Springsteen, I believe, is around 64, 65, 66 years old, somewhere in that range. But he's still a young man. Because I remember Bruce Springsteen from way back in the day. When I first heard of Bruce Springsteen, and especially first heard of his music, I thought he was another Bob Dylan. But as I listened to him and as I listened to Bob Dylan, they are worlds apart. But totally talented, straight up talented. So I want to say once again, folks, I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day. And I was, there were some shows I did last week that I was, you know, talked about Mother's Day leading up to Mother's Day. But now that Mother's Day has passed, I'm hoping everyone had a great Mother's Day. And what do we have next? Father's Day? Wow. Can't wait for that, huh? Okay. All right. Folks, I want to play this clip by someone named, you might have heard of it, Flossie Lewis. She is 91 years old, an elder. She is 91 years old. I just love elder, senior people who are up in age that can be able to tell us younger people something, you know. Because people like this, they are my, you know, heroes. I mean, they're my mentors because they are live so long and they're telling, giving me some advice to how maybe I can live so long. So her name is Flossie. Okay. Flossie Lewis. And I'm hoping that you can, you know, that you're going to listen. And she's 91. She's 91 and she's living every bit of her life, and she's such a positive spoken person. I admire her to the death, you know. And I'm hoping once I play this clip of her, it's around almost three minutes, and that you can hear her clearly as she speaks. Let's see if we can cue that clip up for you folks right now on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Dozens of shootings scattered across the city this
weekend. Okay, that's
not hitting the south.
All right, that wasn't the one, folks. It was kind of low anyway. All right, here we go.
Getting old is a state
That's
of
it.
Mind. Now, I'm 91. I'm badly crippled. But I still think
She's 91.
I'm 15. Will this go viral?
Yes.
We hope so.
There are several ways I keep myself stimulated. By dragging myself to Piedmont Avenue on my walker or in my wheelchair, and you should see me use my wheelchair, I write light verse for The Crest, which is our newspaper. And every month you can find a sly little bit of verse from Flossie Lewis. The other way I keep being stimulated is just watching politics. And if that isn't enough to drive you crazy, I don't know what is. You do struggle to keep yourself neat and clean and fashionable, and there's always the possibility that romance comes your way. I just liking someone is a treat, because part of being old is to get cranky. There's indigestion, and your teeth fall out, and suddenly you need hearing aids, and you feel increasingly unattractive. And then somebody says, "How nice you look today, Mrs. Lewis," or "You're a real kick, Flossie," and you feel good about yourself. You pick yourself up and you say, "I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it because I have a reason to get through it." Really growing old is when you discover that you haven't a reason to get through it anymore, and that you'd like to go to sleep with a certain amount of dignity, accepting the fact that the body is going to go, but the personality doesn't have to go. And that thing which is the hardest to admit is that character doesn't have to go. I'm Flossie Lewis. This is my brief but spectacular take on growing old.
Oh, that was great. That was Flossie Lewis, and that was her take on growing old. I don't know. There is may have been a little bit of dullness in that audio, but she's 91 years old, and she's talking about growing old, and she's saying that she's 91, and she's still looking for romance. Hey, that's what I like to hear about my seniors. The elder and positiveness. It's not always I'm old, I'm all alone, I want to die. It's not always like that, you know. I want to tell my seniors out there, I mean, you know, there's always plenty, if you're retired, there's always plenty of things to do. You can volunteer. I mean, you can have a hobby or something. You can get out and meet people, because that's where it's going to happen, at getting out and meeting people and being among people of your own age, because those are the people who are going to understand you. But you don't want to be around people. I mean, you don't want to be around people talking about aches and pains all the time. you want to be around people that's going to, you know, give you a reason to carry on in life, you know. Most people think that, like I just said, most people think that old people, elderly people sit around, all they do is talk about aches and pains. That's boring. I wouldn't want to be around people, nobody talking about aches and pains. Tell me something positive. Tell me something great. Tell me something where, you know, something's funny or a joke or something. Don't talk about aches and pains around me, please. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 7:18 straight up in Chicago. It is raining, folks. It is getting dark, but it's still gray and it's raining. And I wanted to mention in Oklahoma and Kansas, I mean, man, they've had some of the worst tornadoes. I mean, tornado after tornado after tornado after tornado around in that region. Oklahoma, Kansas, maybe parts of Texas, you know, Arkansas. I mean, this is crazy. These twisters, these hurricanes. And as usual, people have lost their homes. People have ended up homeless. So, you know, we got to keep those people in our prayers. You know what I'm saying? Keep those people in our prayers, because you never know when it can happen to one of us. I mean, a tornado could come by and take your house, your apartment, or condo, or wherever you're living. So we have to keep those people who have lost everything through bad weather, keep them in our dreams. Well, not our dreams. Keep them in our prayers. Okay, in the city of Chicago, we're having some devastating weather here also. I'm in my studio as always, folks. It's a great studio. It's a great, you know, I have a Great big window in front of me. And it's beautiful. I'm beautiful. I couldn't do the show if I couldn't look out on the boulevard and see the people who are possibly listening to my show, walking down the street on their iPhones. That's great. That is so great. never knowing that I'm looking at them as they listening to my show, as they, you know, going about their business or whatever. And that's always a good thing. And that's always a good thing. It makes me want to keep on doing what I'm doing. And I'm glad you're out there, and I'm glad you're listening to the show. And this is a great show. My guest tomorrow would be Nicole Walther. Okay, she is an author. We talked. So I know she's going to be here. You know, we talked through emails, and did I make a phone call? You know, a lot of my guests send me phone calls, but I very seldom call anybody unless it's very, very necessary. Email is all it takes. Like I said earlier, if you want to get on my show, it's not very hard to do. It's not hard at all. All you got to do is drop me an email, let me know what you're going to talk about, and I'll look over your information, and then I'll make a decision from there. Positive decision, you will get a booking date. And that's it. You don't need to send me your agent. I don't need to talk to your agent. I don't need to talk to a manager that's managing your affairs, or an agent that's going to put you in touch with me. I don't need that. I need to talk to the author directly to be on my show. Because one of the things about agents and managers that I do not like is that they're getting paid to have you on my show. You're paying them to put you on my show, and that's totally unnecessary. You don't need to pay anybody to be on my show. My show is open to the world. You don't have to pay anybody to be on this show. It save that money, you know. But a lot of people don't realize that. I'm trying to get people to realize that, because I once had an agent contact me, said, "Mr. Wilder, we love your show. We think it's a great show. I have 60 people that I want to introduce you to that I would think would be great guests to put on your show." 60. And I'm saying to the manager, those 60 people are paying him to get them on my show. And I said, "Hell no. You're not giving me anything. They're paying you." No. You want 60 people to be on my show, you better come up with some cash. You know? Or either I could just talk to these people individually and just put them on the show with no cost to me or no cost to the agent. But some of these agents are steadfast. They will not let you talk to a potential guest for the show unless you go through them. And I don't like that. I don't like having to go through nobody to get somebody on my show. This is my show. I run it. I produce it. I'm the host. You have to come through me to be on my show. I go through no one to get someone to be on my show. All right, but it's an easy place to be a guest, folks. And that's about it. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I've been having a great time, folks. All right, the smart quiz question is, if the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes president? The Speaker of the House. Voila. I know you knew that. I know you knew that. Okay. All right. We got about how many minutes we left? We got about 6 minutes into the show. And folks, I've had a ball, and I can't wait till tomorrow's show to have to have some more fun. All right. Let's see if we can cue this up. There we go.
Open eyes. that we may see tomorrow. See, Lord, grant us.
Sorry for the dead air. That's it for the show. Let me see. All right, what we got here?
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
All right, I was just told I had 60 seconds left in the show. Thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for being a part of the show. Hope you join me tomorrow, 6 o'clock straight up Chicago time, 6 o'clock p.m. straight up Chicago time. I'm on four days a week, Monday through Thursday. And the show is always lively. As you can probably tell, the show is always lively. I'm still learning, still getting my feet wet, almost 2 years onto the show. It'll be 2 years in August. And I'm thinking about what am I going to do to celebrate. Anyway, thanks for being here, folks. I hope you join me tomorrow. Let's see if we can take this thing out on a musical note, if we can find it. You got that clip? All righty, here we go. Join me tomorrow, folks. Bye-bye. Yeah. great. I didn't have...
Don't get up.